time for Coffee with the Chicken Ladies, a podcast for people who love chickens.
Hey, everybody, and welcome. It's Chrissy and Holly from Coffee with the Chicken Ladies. We're here, and this is episode number 155 of our podcast, where we talk about everything chicken, family, fun, and
more chickens.
More chickens. We drink a ton of coffee. I'm talking a ton. But most importantly,
we hug chickens every day.
And we kiss them too. Don't forget. We brew coffee from a little coffee house in historic Gettysburg, PA. Bantam Coffee Roasters. Holly Ann, what kind of coffee are we brewing today?
Delicious Brazilian.
It's Brazilian. And it's so good. And you can go over to their website at
BantamRoasters.com
and use our code FluffyButt. And get 10% off anything on the website. That is a great deal, a great code. And follow them on Facebook and Instagram. Are you ready to sip some of this delicious Brazilian coffee and chat?
I am. But first, a word from our sponsor.
We have some exciting news to share from our sponsor, Grubly Farms. They're here, new and improved, Grubly's World Harvest.
I'm a longtime subscriber, and my flock love the healthy, nutritious treats, plus orders $40 and more ship free.
If you haven't heard, Grubly's has a fantastic layer pellet and crumble feed. It's packed with plant and insect protein, perfect for those picky chickens and ducks.
Grubly Farms makes food and treats for healthy pets and planet.
To support us and Grubly's, go to our website or our show notes and use the link. Try it today. How are you doing today?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing well. I am hanging in there.
You're mostly recovered from your cold.
I feel better. My voice still kind of has a little going in and out, but I'm feeling pretty good. It's been a few days. I've been feeling better. So
good,
that's
good.
This is pre-recorded, as everybody knows, but we're getting ready to go away soon. So we are busy.
Right. When this drops, we will have returned from the Ohio National Poultry Show. But right now we're scrambling to, it's like we're undertaking a major military operation to try to get everything ready to go away for a couple days.
Yes. All of our clothes and things are the least of our worries. It's
seriously,
all the animals.
It's the animals.
Trying to get everybody settled and make sure everybody has the medications they need. And
I'm writing four different sets of instructions for four different people. Well, yeah. No, I guess three, because I don't need to write anything for
Pete. Sometimes it's hard to go away. And, you know,
sometimes.
A lot of times when you have animals. So.
Yeah. So it is what it is. Mm-hmm.
We're getting there. We're having fun.
Yes.
We're laughing a lot today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been a very full day with lots of laughter as we try to complete all of our work for the week in one day.
I know. And we're dealing with our server being down for our stats.
Yeah. We are not getting stats from last week properly. And then today at about noon, it pooped out.
It stopped.
We haven't gotten any stats since then.
And we need our stats. So it is quite frustrating when you don't get those. Mm-hmm. We know all you beautiful people out there are listening, but we don't have our numbers. And we like to see our numbers.
We do. Yeah. They matter.
They do matter.
Our sponsors like to see our numbers.
They do. They do. So we're like, please, please get up and running again. It's always good to see where people are listening in the world. I love to look out and see where people are coming from.
Yeah, that is really fun.
Other than that, we've just been busy with getting ready to go away. That's it. And the work of the show.
Yes.
The show must go on.
The show must go on. And I've also been trying in between all of that to start doing some stuff for Thanksgiving.
Yeah. So we're getting ready for Thanksgiving and everything else. Hey, if you have some really good Thanksgiving recipes, this is the time to send them over to us.
Sure.
If you'd like to get a shout out, we will definitely give you one. Make sure it has eggs in it, though.
Yes, that's our one requirement. Some eggs in the recipe.
Always. Mm-hmm. Okay, so on that note, if you're listening to our show and you're loving it, head on over to Apple Podcast and leave us a written review. We want to see some written reviews. We are missing our written reviews over there. So if you want to make our day, the way to do it is to go over there and type something that you love about the show and leave us a review. We love seeing it. The other thing that you can do is hit that subscribe button. Two things, you never miss an episode, and it's really important for the growth of our show.
If you're looking for other ways to support the podcast, you can share your favorite episodes on social media. You can tell a few chicken-loving friends about the podcast.
5 zillion.
And while I'm here, I'm the Android user, right?
Yeah, you are.
I will say thank you to people who have left comments on Spotify and Amazon.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you. We really appreciate everybody.
We do. You can visit our Etsy shop. Check out the mugs and t-shirts and occasional tiny chickens that we have there.
We have a new t-shirt. It's really awesome.
That's a nice t-shirt. Yeah.
Yeah. Go check it out.
You can become a patron of the show, patreon.com/coffeewiththechickenladies. Welcome. I feel like we're getting new members every week. Welcome to our new members. A gigantic thank you to all of our continuing members. And the other thing you can do to help support the podcast is visit our website or show notes, use our affiliate links and discount codes, and buy products from our sponsors.
Yay!
Hey, Chris.
Yeah.
Do you like subscription boxes?
Does it have anything to do with chickens?
Of course.
Then yeah. Let me take a minute to tell you about the Chicken Love Box. If you love goodies for your chickens and you need to go to chickenlove.com.
I love the Mega Box. Tons of useful products for my flock and a chicken tea for me.
You can't go wrong with a chicken tea. They are so cute and so soft.
In the August box, I absolutely love those amazingly good-smelling nest box herbs and that giant roll of rooster stickers.
They're great. I love the wood decorative plate. It's going up in our studio today. And with all my baking, those egg separators are going to work awesomely.
Boxes start at $39 a month. They ship immediately after your order, and shipping is always free.
Such a great deal. Don't wait. Get off the nest and click already. Use the code CWTCL50 for 50% off your first box of a 3-month subscription or more. That's chickenlove.com. That's chickenluv.com. Get your subscription today.
Have you heard of Strong Animals Chicken Essentials? They make natural supplements for your flock.
Strong Animals has used plant-based products and natural approaches to promote the health and vitality of backyard flocks. Their products contain organic essential oils, prebiotics, and other natural ingredients to support the immune system and digestive health. Give your chicks and chickens what they need to thrive with Strong Animals health products. Visit GetStrongAnimals.com today.
The Breed Spotlight is brought to you by Murray McMurray Hatchery, defining quality for generations. For over a century, Murray McMurray Hatchery has remained a trusted family-owned business, working tirelessly to ensure our poultry meet the highest standards.
Whether you are an experienced enthusiast or just embarking on the journey, look to McMurray Hatchery for guaranteed quality, rare and heritage breeds, low minimums, and all the supplies you need to raise your flock. Request a free catalog today.
Dun, 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 dun. Go on down, put the quarter in the jukebox, yeah, because it's time for the Breed Spotlight, yeah. Yeah. what is that? Rockabilly? What's happening over there?
Well, this week's breed for the Breed Spotlight is...
the Americana. It's the Americana, my lord. Yes.
Now you might have to put like $1.50 in a jukebox. I don't know.
Are there even still jukeboxes anywhere?
We're old. I need to go put a quarter in a jukebox.
Uh-huh. Well, yeah, Americana. Back to it. Yes.
Americana is the bird of the week.
These birds are one of the more popular breeds in America.
Very popular.
Very popular. And really, it's no surprise. They are super cute. They have muffs and beards. They're very gentle chickens. And most of them lay beautiful blue or blue-green eggs.
What is not to love with this chicken?
We are emphasizing that Americanas are a true breed to differentiate them from Easter Eggers.
They get mistaken all the time. Mm-hmm. Those two breeds of chickens, or a breed of chicken and a style of chicken, variety, mm-hmm. let's say, get mistaken for each other all the time. But there are distinct differences between
right.
the two.
Easter Eggers are often sold as Americanas, so buyer beware. Sometimes the clue is that it's not spelled properly. Americana is AmericanA. But you'll see people selling Americanas, AmericaNA.
Right.
If your birds are bearded and muffed and look a bit like a hawk or an eagle, then it's likely an Americana.
Versus an Easter Egger.
Right. Now, some Easter Eggers can be bearded and muffed. Like, you can almost say it's that old joke. All Americanas might be Easter Eggers, but all Easter Eggers are not Americanas.
Exactly. So the differences are in beards and muffs and tails and no mm-hmm. tails and
yeah.
different things, but they are very similar chicken.
They can be. Now, added to the Americana Easter Egger confusion is the fact that 20 years ago, when I first got my very first pair of Americanas, they were simply sold as Araucanas.
Right. And that is a totally different breed. Totally different from the Americana mm-hmm. and the Easter Egger.
This is still the case in some places. Again, buyer beware. Oricon is our parent stock for this breed.
And they're rumpless.
They are rumpless or rumpy, as yes.
They don't have a tail.
Right. Oricanas are not Americanas. Oh, and let's add some more confusion. Except in the UK. Oricanas in the UK are bearded, muffed, have tails, and sometimes even sport small crests.
It's like the Wheel of Fortune wheel goes around, and this chicken has muff. This chicken has no tail. Take a guess at the board. Can we spell out which chicken is up here?
Well, when you think about it, it's like 50 or 60 years of breeding these. It kind of harkens back to the fight over the Langshan and the Cochin.
Right.
Like, until people really get it straight in their mind, there's a lot of confusion about breeds.
Well, the thing is, the Easter Egger, and we've talked about the Easter Egger multiple times because they're probably even more popular than the Americana. They right. are a variety. They are not a breed of chicken.
That's right.
Okay?
That's right.
The Americana is a breed of chicken along with the Araucana. And they are two different breeds, and the Easter Egger is a variety of. So it's very confusing to a person who's fresh on the scene, and they've heard all these things about these chickens.
Right. Now, like we said, Americanas are relative newcomers as standard bred poultry. They've been around since the 1970s. They are largely derived from Araucana stock.
Correct.
Yep. And some other unknown mix of heritage breeds.
That has beard and muff or tail.
Maybe
or
not.
Something.
We don't know.
Right.
Araucanas had arrived in the U.S. from South America as early as the 1930s. And that's the case for the U.K. as well.
Right.
Araucanas carry a gene for ear tufts
right.
that is tied to a lethal gene. It is an in-shell chick death lethal gene. So the chick dies before it hatches. And this happens when offspring of Araucanas carry a double copy of that gene.
Correct. What I wanted to bring up is Americanas, they're offset of the Araucana. But within all of that breeding, their genetics aren't always the strongest.
We'll talk about that more at the end of this. But yes, there are some things to look at. And I think the answer is you need to be really choosy about where you get them.
I believe that to be true. Because if you're going with someone who's just breeding, the chances are...
I think they need to be bred with care by someone who knows what they're
doing. Because the genetics are already kind of faulty.
Right.
So if you go with someone that it doesn't have any calls for that, you're going to have a chicken that has even more problems.
Yeah,
and when
can.
I talk about that, what I mean is I'm talking early death due to reproductive cancer.
They're not very robust.
Or other problems that they get very easily.
Right, right.
So yeah, we'll talk about that later.
Now, the good news is this breed is not considered to be at risk. So they're not in danger. They're not threatened.
Because they're very popular.
Very popular, yeah.
I mean, they have the blue egg.
They do have a beautiful egg.
Everybody wants a blue egg layer. And a lot of times they go with the Americana.
Right. I mean, they're adorable. They really are the cutest chickens.
I had four. Mm-hmm. And they're part of my, you know, every year you get chicks that are no longer with us. And I had trouble with them staying healthy. Nothing of what happened was anybody's fault. I believe it was the genetic breeding.
They were not genetically robust.
That's what I believe.
In 1978, the Americana Bantam Club was formed with the object of creating a breed standard and gaining admittance into both the American Poultry Association and the American Bantam Association. In 1980, the American Bantam Association accepted the Americana Bantam into their standard of perfection.
So you're telling me the Americana standard size wasn't accepted at that point?
No. And this
they walked in the door wanting to get the Bantam first.
Yes. That's why the club was formed first.
Okay.
It's usually the other way around. But yeah, this case is a little different. While the club did concentrate on Bantams at first, there were breeders working on the large fail Americanas as well. In 1984, the American Poultry Association accepted both the Bantam and the large fail Americanas into the standard of perfection.
Okay.
Now, in 1986, this is what we've been waiting for. In 1986, the name of the Americana Bantam Club was changed to the Americana Breeders Club.
I've never seen an Americana Bantam.
I've seen photos. They are so cute.
I mean, the Americanas, that's what drew me to them in the first place, was the egg color. I'll be the first to admit it.
For me, it's the beards and the muff.
And they're just adorable. And the thing that I like about them is that part of them that they're, you can get four chickens and they all four look different.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that it's easier to identify them.
And we'll talk about that some more at the end too, because I feel like there are two schools of breeding. There are people who are breeding for like what you hope will be hybrid vigor, and then you have serious breeders of a particular color variety. So,
right.
We'll get into that a little bit.
So, they are adorable, and they do come in a wide variety of colors.
The breed standard calls for muffs and beards and tails. No muffin beard, no tail, no showing.
Right, exactly. They're medium-bodied, they have the pea comb, and virtually they don't have any wattles.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you could just see where the wattles would be,
right?
But they don't have anything hanging down. Now, their legs and feet tend to be slate, black, and occasionally blue. Mine were blue
mm-hmm.
that I had.
Yep.
And their tails are usually upright, about 45 degrees. They have like a little medium like body. They look like your chicken that's going to be running around your house.
Yeah.
And the roos, they're not crazy big. The roos are coming in at 5.5 to 6.5 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
That is not big for a rooster.
Right.
The hens are going to come in at 4.5 to 5.5 pounds. And the roosters tend to be pretty good looking guys.
Yeah, they usually are.
Now, mine were all on the smaller side. My little Pearl was bullied out of the flock and ended up living with us mm-hmm. for a long time because
yeah.
of that. And she was only maybe 4 pounds tops.
Yeah.
At full grown. And they tend to be falling.
Mine tended to be bigger. The very first two we had, I would say they were more in the 5.5 pounds.
The hens?
Yeah. And Carmelita, who I miss that chicken. I love that chicken. Carmelita was probably heading for 6 pounds. She was big for an Americana.
And I think that's the diversity of the genetics. So you had somebody who was breeding more for a bigger size, mm-hmm. somebody who might have been breeding more for a bigger muff.
Right.
So it all depends on which hatchery, which breeder you're going to get them from.
Yeah.
Now, the chickens I had, Pearl, I had 4 of them. Pearl was the smallest.
Mm-hmm.
And the other 3 were a little bigger, but mm-hmm. maybe 5 pounds tops.
Okay.
They were all on the smaller size.
So truly a medium-sized bird when you get right down to it.
They really are. And I loved their personalities, and they had really diverse personalities.
I really love their personalities, too.
Okay, so let's look at the color varieties. There's 9 in all that we can get.
These are the APA-accepted color varieties.
The ones that you can show. The black.
Blue.
The blue Wheaton.
The brown red.
The buff.
Silver.
Wheaton.
White.
And the newly added self blue, which is probably more like a lavender,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah, that's, yeah. It's very, very pretty color. That's in the new 45th edition of the Standard of Perfection.
Right.
I did read that the splash color variety is currently in the works for APA acceptance, and the splash Americanas are, oh my goodness, I would have to get some of them if I saw them. I love them. They're so pretty.
They're really cute. Now, some hatcheries and non-competition breeders tend to keep Americanas in mixed flocks and not separate them for color.
Right. That's what we were talking about earlier, where you can get all that variance.
Right. So there's a big variance in what you're going to get.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like way back, they were my second edition. So they were way back.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I went to the mill.
Mm-hmm.
Every chicken looked different.
Yeah. The babies all look different.
They all look different. So you never know what you're going to get. And that's part of the fun. But that's, again, a genetic way of diversifying the genes.
Well, right. I mean, the result is usually beautifully unique feather patterns and colors. A lot of them will have gold lacing on their
right.
neck feathers. They're really, really beautiful. But if you're looking to show, or if you're really attached to, like, let's say you want the lavender, you know, the self blue.
Right.
That's when you're going to want to go to a breeder who has them separated out by color variety.
Correct. Now, they're pretty good layers, but these numbers,
I think these numbers are good.
180 to 200 per year.
Yeah. I feel like Americanas are very reliable layers.
They're reliable layers. You're going to always see that blue egg in there.
Mm-hmm. Usually 3-4 times a week.
About 3 times a week.
Yeah.
So. They're enough for a family.
I mean,
they usually don't go broody.
Yeah. There's always an exception. Always an exception, but you don't hear about it very much. Mm-mm. We think that Americanas are really nice additions to a mixed laying flock. And beginning chicken keepers often get them.
They do well in a mixed flock. I will say this, be careful, because mm-hmm. they can be towards the bottom of the pecking
order. That's right. They're gentle. They're very easy to deal with. In my experience, I've found some to be a little bit nervous
Me
and
too.
Even skittish at times.
Me too.
Another thing to think about, their muffs can restrict their vision a bit. So we usually recommend supervised free range with Americanas.
Oh, definitely. And you can trim them up a little bit.
Yeah.
The skittish thing, I experienced that.
Mm-hmm.
I had Olive, and she definitely did not like to be held, did not like to be snuggled. She was very friendly. I could treat her medically, but she was not one you'd have to catch her to pick her up and that kind of thing. So I think just as diverse as the feathers are, the personalities can be too.
My first two, they were friendly. You know, they hung out, but they didn't want to be picked up. Carmelita, you could pick up and carry around and cuddle.
Yeah.
You know, there's always a special one in there.
Yeah. Pearl and Ruby and Violet. Violet, not as much as Pearl and Ruby, but Pearl and Ruby could be very, they were beyond friendly.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's all a game of what you're going to get with this.
It is. They can be very good garden helpers, and they usually get along with their flock mates pretty well. But like you said, they can be occasionally be bullied by stronger breeds.
So, yeah, be careful with putting them. I think they need to be in a laid-back flock myself.
I feel like the older we get, the more we are emphasizing carefully curating the breeds in your flock.
Oh, definitely.
Just to save them and you from stress and heartache.
I mean, honestly, we were talking about this before, and it's like, don't get a Polish and put them in with a flock with Morans and
Wyandottes or
Wyandottes and Plymouth Rocks and different things like that. You want to keep chickens of alike personalities together so that they mesh well.
Right, right.
So I think that Americana is in that category to go into a laid-back flock.
I agree with you completely. They are considered dual-purpose breed by some.
I do not see how.
I don't either, but, you know, again, they are relatively adaptable to both heat and cold.
It's at body size. It's
right.
The but small
watch them in either extreme. I mean, the peak comb is not, it doesn't easily get frostbite like some other comb types. But I've seen Americanas out there trying to hold their legs up against their body because they're cold.
That, and on the other side of it, it's not big enough to regulate in the heat so much.
It doesn't give off a lot of body heat, right?
So they're good in either environment, but you do have to make some provisions for
them.
Yeah,
definitely. If you're going to have extremes of temperature, these are birds that need a little bit more attention. This is a breed that is relatively easy to get your hands on.
But
like we said, it pays to be choosy when selecting a source for your Americanas.
Yes.
You want strong genetics for healthy, robust parent stock.
Yes.
It does matter with this breed.
It matters immensely with this breed because you want a bird that can potentially come up against a problem and genetically be able to fight it off.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Sometimes if these birds were very, they were overbred in any way, shape, or form, their genetics aren't going to be as strong. And they, what happens is their immune system isn't as strong, so they can't fight things off as well. That's what I'm talking about when I keep mentioning they're not strong genetics.
I think depending on where you get them, and I do think this has improved with time, but still you want to be super choosy because I feel like what we experienced with these birds early on is that they were a little fragile health-wise.
Right, definitely.
Yeah.
So they need extra care. They need extra looking after them. You need to see signs before signs are what they are. So what I'm saying is, you need to know normal behavior, and if anything goes astray with them, you need to be on it right away.
Yeah. Now, Murray McMurray Hatchery has some beautiful lines of Americanas. And interestingly, they were working on Americana breeding in the 1980s before they were even an APA standard breed.
So, you know where we're going to tell you to go.
Absolutely. Now, again, if you're looking for show birds, we would send you to the Americana Breeders Club website because you're going to want not that beautiful hybrid mix. You're going to want specific color varieties.
McMurray Hatchery is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
In one word, how we can sum them up. They're amazing. And their genetic lines are really strong.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to tell you to go there if they have the breed. And they do. And you can't go wrong.
No, they're very pretty. You know what happens when I write a breed spotlight? I'm like,
Does McMurray have them? Yes.
Yes, they do. Could I get them in the future?
Maybe.
Is there room in the inn right now?
No.
No.
But you'll make it.
If I wanted to. I'm still kind of over the moon with the new breed I chose for this year.
I mean, my heart was broken by my four that I've had.
Oh, yeah.
And sometimes when you have a chicken that breaks your heart, it's hard to go past.
Yes, it is.
I want to let everybody know right now, this is actually the first time I'm able to talk about this.
I'm shocked that you're going to.
Yeah, Gertie, my beloved Gertie passed away a few weeks ago. I've not been able to talk about it, but she did succumb to a problem with her crop, and I have been devastated.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes when I say, like, she had every medical medicine that was known to man to help
the best
her.
Care, yeah.
And she just did not make it. And it did devastate me. And I'm just now able to say it on here. I've not been able to say it for weeks.
It's been wrenching. It's been horrible for all of us.
It's been bad. But this is why I think it just brings me to like Americanas, made me think about it. My four that I had, sometimes you can't go back. Mm-hmm. You're like, those four touched my heart in a way that I can't go back and do it again.
Carmelita is the same way for me.
So I just wanted to take this moment just to let everybody know that that happened and that I'm still a little on the devastated side about it and have a very hard time even talking or thinking about it. But she was beyond loved by all of us and by me. And she was much more than a chicken to me.
That was a very special bird. I get that. Like, you're not prepared to even look at Well Summers yet. And honestly, you're probably, and I might be the same way. I was really tempted by the Americanas, but I still have Carmelita in there.
I still have my four in my head. And sometimes you can't go back. You have to look forward and you're like, is that going to be a different breed? Mm-hmm. And that's okay.
Yes,
it is. It's whatever you choose. And for me, a Well Summer again in my life right now is not there because there is only one Gertie to me. And my heart was broken in a million pieces. And again, she was beyond loved and never will ever be forgotten. So on a happier note, if you do have Americanas, and I might put some pictures up of our Americanas on social media because they're beloved to us. They were.
And they're so cute.
And this is a time to share them with us. Mention us in your story. It's very easy for me to reshare your story to ours so that we can show off your beautiful Americanas.
If anyone has the self blue, we would love to see them. Or the splash.
Send us pictures.
Especially, we would love to see them. If you're looking for a chicken coop that's produced in a planet-friendly, sustainable way, try Nestera.
Each coop is made from highly durable, 100% recycled plastic that keeps the equivalent of up to 2,000 shampoo bottles out of a landfill.
Their clean, modern design will fit into any garden or run area and comes with an industry-beating 25-year warranty and a range of handy accessories.
Simple to put together, so quick and easy to clean, and most importantly, red mite resistant. Your chickens will love it.
Quick shipping from Nestera.us.
For a 5% discount, use the affiliate link in our show notes, on our website, and on Instagram. Link in bio. Check them out today. Roosties proudly sponsors Coffee with the Chicken Ladies. They're back with an innovative new product. You're going to want to check this out.
It's an extra large set, a 14-pound feeder in 3-gallon water with steep anti-roost lids. They're made of super durable material. You can either stand them on legs or hang them on brackets on your coop or fence. They're easy to remove and clean too. Plus, they look awesome.
We personally use Roosties and we're huge fans. So if you're raising chicks or keeping chickens, check out the Roosty store on Amazon or follow the link in our show notes. Okay, so let's move on to main topic. Yeah. This week's main topic, we are welcoming back the guys from Nutrina, Twain Lockhart and Mark Eggers. We love these two. And we sat down with them and had a great conversation. Enjoy the interview.
Okay, so we are welcoming Mark Eggers and Twain Lockhart from Nutrina back to the show. Fellas, welcome. Welcome back.
Hello, glad to be back.
We are happy to have you again. Twain is the retail side of the feed and has a million and one great stories. Mark is technology and innovation, so he's on the science side. But both of you are chicken keepers, and we have some great conversations with you. So we're happy to have you here again this week. We got great feedback from your episode.
Well, our listeners loved you guys, and I just like that we can talk chickens and have a great time. What gets better than that?
That's right. Glad to be back.
We had a We have matching shirts on.
We did notice. Yes, we did. They have large roosters on the front of them. They're cool. Yep. Perfect. So, what's new on your side, fellas? What's happening?
Well, Mark, you want to talk about the exciting new duck food that's our waterfowl food?
Yeah. Nature-wise, nourishing waterfowl. Kind of, Twain can kind of go through kind of how we feed it, but just to give you a little background on the feed itself. So it's a new form, which is really pretty cool. You get the durability of a pellet, but the consumption and everything, just like a crumble or, you know, birds tend to like it quite a bit better, but no waste. And so we call it a bit. That's the really unique thing about the waterfowl product is it floats. So, Twain, you want to cover kind of how we feed that?
Yeah, this is great because we did a survey a couple of years ago and we found about half of duck owners prefer a floating feed. Geese prefer a floating feed. And we had this feed was developed by four nationally known duck breeders. All of them will probably be at the Ohio National. And they helped us develop these, the ingredients and what's in the feed itself. But being floating is the big deal. So for anybody that wants to feed ducks at the park, you know, bread's a big no-no, whereas this would be perfect for that, or your own waterfowl.
It's like a floating kibble, essentially.
Yeah. It makes sense.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Wow. That's amazing.
You don't want your food to go to the bottom, and then they have to splash the water more. This makes sense. They can skim the top, and you get less water waste.
You can also see who's eating. Make sure you see everyone eating.
Yeah, you can tell when it's gone a little bit easier. Mm-hmm. It sounds like a great product.
Yep. You know, it feeds really, really well.
That's fantastic. Yeah,
feed it either on ground or in the over the top of water, either one. So it works really well.
And it's appropriate for geese and ducks.
Yes.
Correct. Yep.
We have a lot of listeners that have them. So
we do, yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome. So what's new on the personal side? Anything going on fun?
So I do my second coop. You remember we were talking the first time that I was the process of having somebody build it. So it's completed. Technically, maybe a shed, not really a coop.
That's okay. That's okay.
It got a little big, right? So, we moved into to that. So now we have two. So the chicken math and the multiplication is working. We're up to 40 hens now. So,
man.
You're
going to be past us soon.
It's been so much fun watching her embrace the whole crazy chicken thing. You know, there's crazy chicken ladies. We walk her down. He is a crazy chicken guy, and he has totally embraced the poultry thing, and it's been real fun to watch this. He started incubating, and you know you're at the point of no return when you start incubating. When you get more than one incubator going, it's like, oh, you've gone into the twilight zone. You crossed the line. So
you're going back and forth. Look at it. I got this one going, that one going. That's amazing.
Yeah, we love it. A couple nice windows, put the correct architectural light in front of the door. And, you know, my wife loves it because everything matches now in the backyard. So it's worked out really good. Move the other coop to where it's kind of off on the other side of our backyard. And so you can kind of see both of them from our deck, and everybody just loves that. So,
So you've already filled the second coop that you emptied.
Yeah. So the pullets are in there now, or young hens, I should say, and we're just kind of waiting for them to start laying. So.
None of my pullets have started laying yet, but I think all of yours are.
My pullets are laying. I asked Holly the other day, would you like some pullet eggs? Because mine are fully laying. And they're all sisters, hatched at the same exact time.
Yeah, but half of yours are Asiatics. Mine are all Asiatics. Langshan, Cochin, Brahma. Yeah. And they just are taking their sweet times.
Yeah,
but mine aren't. I'm like, do you need some pullet eggs?
I do. Thank you. I'll take them. I'm not proud.
Get into your sex links and things like that, and they lay like gangbusters. And some of your more exotic breeds, like Mark was telling me, his Morans haven't started laying yet. And it's like, don't get rid of them. I mean, they're not known. They're known for the nice, deep colored, chocolate covered eggs,
but they just aren't
real big producers. So
you know, funny thing is, my cuckoo Morans, they're about 7 years old now. And the first year I had them, I'm waiting patiently because, you know, like heritage breeds lay around 6 months. I got them in.
Sometimes later.
Well, yeah, here we go.
Yep.
So I got them in, I believe, April.
Mm-hmm.
And October comes, no eggs.
Yeah.
November comes, no eggs. I'm like, oh my God, I know they're hens. Like, when are they going to lay? Christmas morning. Go out
there.
There's a chocolate egg. It was almost like wrapped in a bow, like Merry Christmas, miracle.
How about the two of you? What's new since we last talked to you guys? What's new for you?
We have been busy. I mean, so busy with the podcast.
Yeah.
Interviewing lots of fun people. We were
humbled to have been.
There you go.
Featured on the cover of Chicken and Egg magazine. That's the magazine produced by the British Hen Welfare Trust.
Yes. Yeah, so thank you.
Awesome.
Yeah, we absolutely love that organization. And the founder, Jane Howarth, is one of the most inspiring women I have ever met in my life.
When we talk to her, she gives me chills every time. I mean, she started with a classified ad in the paper to save some chickens.
And now she's 80s.
Yeah. And now she's going to be, they're on track this year, hopefully, for their millionth save. So it's she inspires me so much when we talk to her. But yeah, we've been so busy and just having fun. Our pullets are growing up. I'm loving Houdans now. Houdans are, I love my parents,
the goofiest birds in the world, but they're so sweet.
That's why Houdans are what I call an eye roll chicken. To be fair, so is Naked Necks, and those are my favorite. When you say, oh, I like Naked Necks, people roll their eyes. I mean, like, they can't help it. It's a reflex. They just roll their eyes. And a Houdan's an eye roller, too.
I am in love with those babies. They're just amazing. If you squat in the run to, like, get down to see them or feed them, they go under you and sit.
Yeah.
They're, like, right there. They never leave you.
So goofy.
They're crazy, but yeah. So, no, we've been just busy with podcast stuff and all that good stuff.
Yeah, the podcast
is really good.
Really good. I got myself, and I'd never had one before. I've had plenty of Brahmas and Cochins over the years, but I got a Langshan. Yep. And now I'm like, why did I only get one Langshan? She's the most amazing bird. I'm completely in love. They're drop dead gorgeous. So we're also trying to figure out our chicks for next year because we get our chicks from McMurray every year. They sponsor the podcast. They start taking orders in November. And like, you've got to jump on those heritage breeds.
Oh, yeah.
So we're trying to figure out what we're getting for next year. And it's not an easy decision.
And this will air after, but we're getting ready soon to travel to the Ohio Nationals, which is our first time. Yep. And we're super excited about it.
Oh, yeah.
So,
you're going to have a great time.
You're going to have so much fun there. It's massive. So, and they have this balcony. So you can go up on this balcony and you can get like a panoramic view with your camera.
Oh, wow.
And it is massive. And if to give you an idea, just type in Ohio National in YouTube because everybody does this. You'll see what I'm talking about. And this year, I think it's going to be bigger than most years. So
yeah, it's the 150th anniversary. So I think it's supposed to be like a sort of a gala thing. Mm-hmm. Also, they're releasing an anniversary, I think the 45th edition of the Standard of Perfection. And if you're attending the Ohio Nationals, you can order it in advance and pick up your copy there. So we'll have to do that.
Oh, Holly will definitely have to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. For the record, I've never had birds good enough to go to the Ohio National. I just like to go to watch and see it.
Exactly. You know, same here.
You know, I'm sure a lot of people go to the Super Bowl, but we're never good enough to play, you know? So it's kind of the same idea.
That's one way to put it.
Super Bowl at different shows.
Awesome. Yeah, we'll have
Road tripping it 6 hours.
It's not a bad drive. 6 hours is not a bad drive.
That would be good.
Yeah, we can knock that out pretty quickly.
Okay, so let's get into this time of the year.
Yep.
It's getting colder. There's a lot going on with these hens. They're molting. The days are shorter. And the laying has slowed.
Definitely. Slowed a lot.
So the first question or the first point that we're going to talk about today is let's break down what's happening to them and why. Because some people may be new chicken owners or, you know, first or second year and don't quite understand what's happening to them. It's a big time of the year for the chicken.
Right.
The fall and the spring are the big times, right? So the fall, what's going on with them?
I'm actually taking a fair number of calls here right now with people that are calling in and, you know, hey, gosh, what is happening? You know, we're starting to slow down on the number of eggs, but boy, I'm feeding them just like I always was. And what's a little different? You know, my hens are doing the same thing, right? They're starting to slow down a little bit. So you got two different things going on here right now. First is daylight, right? Yeah. So our days are definitely getting shorter. Daylight and egg laying are so closely tied together that is definitely the longer the days, the more eggs you're going to get. So as we start to slow down, she just naturally wants to slow down herself. You know, some people think this is their natural time to take a break and they like to let them take a break. Other people will, you know, maybe try to stimulate some more egg laying with artificial light. And Twain actually talks quite a bit about that, really good on that topic. You know, and that's just a personal preference, what everybody wants to do. Neither one's right or wrong. It's just whichever you'd like to do. So that's one big topic right there, right? And then the other one is, this is typically, and this one can have a little bit of a wider time frame when it happens, but is mold. And so for anybody that, like, maybe even a year ago got their first birds, they've never really gone through this before.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because, these hens, they don't molt until basically after that, 18 months or, that year and a half of, mm-hmm. of age. So they've never gone through that. So all of a sudden this is different. Like, whoa, feathers are in the run.
Oh, yeah.
Coop, right. And they've stopped laying, or some of them have, and gosh, they're getting bald. What's wrong? And so that is something that they go through, and that molt, basically they're going to lose those feathers, and then they need some time to, they're going to quit laying, or at least dramatically slow down. And then they need to have time to regrow those feathers.
And that's why they need a lot of protein this time of the year. We need to pump up the protein for them, because making those feathers takes a lot of that. I mean, and it takes away from the protein and the calcium to go into their bodies, them ovulating and making eggs and doing everything like that. You may see a chicken even lay a soft shell egg because they don't have white enough.
Yeah.
So, there's a lot going on that's 100% natural, but can take a toll on them, even though it's natural.
It's totally normal, right? That's the big thing. This is totally normal, not something out of sync or out of whack with anything. And it's even really goes deeper than just straight protein. So we get down to specific amino acids that are really, really designed to help grow feathers. And so when we talk about, this time of year, what we recommend is that people feed NatureWise Feather Fixer. Mm-hmm. That is a product that was absolutely designed to regrow feathers, and at the same time, this is really important, continue to help them to lay eggs. So it is really a layered diet, but designed to help regrow feathers.
So can you tell us some of the really good stuff that's in this food that's helping, give them the extra oomph to make those feathers a little faster so they can get back to laying for everyone?
Yep. So the two that people see, like on the tag, will typically be lysine and methionine. But then there's also tryptophan, some other amino acids too that are included in there that maybe don't show up on the tag. The other thing that we have really, really found is our flock shield with the essential oils. So the oregano, the rosemary, and the thyme absolutely help to redevelop and regrow those feathers. Mm-hmm. So it's really kind of a combination of those things between the essential oils and the amino acids that really, really make Feather Fixer work and make it different than anything else that's out there. There's been a lot of Feather Fixer. I think we talked about that a little bit on the last call. It was the first product like that ever introduced.
Yeah.
And been a lot of other companies try to copy that, but it's really specific about those specific combination of amino acids and essential oils that definitely help. Yep.
What I love is the essential oils are in this. So there's a push right now for everyone to use essential oils, but we've talked about it on the show multiple times. They're scary. They're, they can do damage if they're not scientifically studied to be the right proper amount that you have.
Yep.
You guys have done all the major research and scientific studies to prove that what you have in there is going to work. And it's a way for people to use them and feel so good about it and know that you're not hurting them. Like, you hear these horror stories where it burns the esophagus because people just pour it in, whatever. And I like the fact that you guys did all the research and we know it's going to work. We were talking before that thyme is one of those essential oils that is massively good for them, but it's kind of like hiding behind the oregano a little bit.
Thyme is a powerhouse. I'm speaking from my herbal certification side. Thyme is a powerhouse, and you don't see it used enough. Rosemary as well. And I think they're totally overshadowed in poultry by use of oregano, which is amazing. But the phytochemicals in rosemary and thyme are I mean, some of the healthiest things you can give to your birds.
Yep. And that's the other thing, and you mentioned it, is just the specific amounts, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we tested combinations, different essential oils, you know, a number of different things like that before we come up with the specific blend that we use, because it definitely does make a difference.
And it smells.
Well, for me, what was amazing. So telling was on the baby chick food, the starter uh-huh. feed.
Yeah.
We had zero mortality in the feeding trials, and we did several feeding trials. And wow. this one, I'd love to say I was a genius and I knew this was going to happen. We had zero pasty butt. And yep. we saw this in the customer testimonies over and over and over, zero pasty butt. And that was directly from the essential oils.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's a big, big deal.
They're so it is. Good for them. Mm-hmm. And they actually kind of flavor the eggs in themselves. I mean,
you open the bag and it smells good enough to eat yourself. It smells amazing yeah. when you open that bag.
But what's scary is when people step out on their own and they get a bottle and then they're just pouring it everywhere and don't know the proper amounts. And yeah. that's why I love this product.
It's science. It's botanical medicine, but it's science. And there's right. something, you know, there's something to the synergy of the three that you chose. Those three work together very harmoniously.
Also for
yep.
seasoning potatoes, but absolutely. They work for chickens also. But they work, I mean, like great in both ways.
Mm-hmm.
So, and yeah, you can't go wrong with using them the proper way.
The waterfowl yeah. food, that is in the NatureWise line. Do you have yes. the essential oils in there as well?
They are. Yes. Yeah, so yes. that's in that too.
Yep. Nice. That's fantastic.
Yeah, I like yep. you said, the food smells fantastic. It's amazing. Yeah.
The Mill is our local store here in Maryland.
Yeah.
And I remember the first time they put the Feather Fixer on display, I said, put that in my car.
Me too.
Because yep. I really wanted to try it. Sometimes hens turn up their nose when you try a new feed with them and it takes them several days. My mm-hmm. girls were right on it.
Yeah, and we've noticed that in basically every trial we've done, either at our research farm or even in, we do it at a number of different backyard poultry. We call it in-field trials.
Mm-hmm.
Twain, we do some at his place. We do some at my place, a couple other places too. And every single place we've ever tried this, we see that same thing. Intake, those birds just love it. They go right to it. You've never opened up a bag of NatureWise. Any of the Nutrina NatureWise feeds, they all yeah. have the essential oils packed in them. But if you open that bag up and just smell it, it smells different than any bag you've ever opened up.
Yes, before. Absolutely.
The only thing we've gotten is asking for you guys to make it into a crumble.
we've had a lot of
multiple listeners yeah. messaging us.
Yeah,
we tried.
After you guys were on.
We tried.
Yeah,
we tried.
And that's so. We're working on some of those mini bits we talked about with the
yeah.
Waterfowl feed. So in that nourishing line, we've got some things we're working on there. And then just for anybody that does like the crumble, for at least for the layers, do have our NatureWise 16% layer feed mm-hmm. that is in a crumble that you can.
You know what I say? You can make it into a crumble yourself.
That's what I do.
You can take right. it and put yep. it in a food processor and kind of grind it up a little bit. And that doesn't do anything to it, correct? That just.
Correct. That's exactly right.
In the mill, they do that. So.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then add it into your crumble at that point. So you can kind of take it one step. That's what I do. I make it into a crumble myself. But like you said, it's just amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we tried to do the Feather Fixer in a crumble. We tried to launch it during right at the heart of the pandemic, which in hindsight was not a good choice. And we just couldn't get legs under it. We couldn't get the stores to bring it in. So
yeah, we actually sell more pellets, the you know, the mini pellet, the small pellet, than we do the crumbles. That's it's just more preference there. But there definitely is a place for some crumbles or, like I said, that mini bit that we're
working on. The mini bit, I think, would be perfect.
I think that
would
be fine.
Yeah.
I
mean,
and you can actually tell the difference between, like, if you use crumble and then you add it in the mini bit.
Yeah.
I think that would be an awesome mix mm-hmm. versus a pellet that's much bigger than the crumble.
Right. The mini bit would be fine. I'm always thinking about, like, I breed Nankins, and, you know, they're less than 2 pounds. They're tiny little birds.
Yeah.
So either I whack the daylights out of it with a rolling pin, which is sometimes very therapeutic.
That's what Twain's wife says too, whacking stuff with a rolling pin.
Therapeutic bird. So have you seen a Sarama show? Have either of you seen a Sarama show?
No.
No. We've read about them, but we've never seen one personally.
Go on YouTube and take a look. I'm not sure if there's going to be any at the Ohio National or not, but they are like their own world. They put them on a table and they perform. They clap and do all the stuff, and the birds strut. And it's really, really interesting. And they're teeny tiny birds.
Yeah. Like, oh yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of like a parakeet. Yeah. Almost.
They're one of the few bantams smaller than a gnat, and I think they are the smallest.
I was going to say they're one of my favorite bantams.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The tiny things. Mark, do you have any bantams in your flock, or Twain? Do you or no?
Not at the moment.
Me either. Holly does.
My wife says that's what's coming next. So
does she have a breed she likes?
Just she's been looking at a couple of the different silkies and then the frizzles. So we'll see what we'll see what
she. I love the frizzles.
Yes. Frizzles are cool. I did have a frizzle coaching rooster, and he was with all the big hens. And but I told you last time I was locked in Mortal Kombat with raccoons. So we had to totally redo our coop, and we don't have a rooster at the moment. So
okay,
we just have the comets, the gold comets, just boring gold comets. But I got to tell you, they're real sweet and they lay a lot of eggs.
So. Oh, they're nice birds. Yeah,
that's their thing. They're the sweetest birds.
So let's circle back a little bit to day length. I mean, there's a lot to unpack when it comes to the subject of day length on laying. It often has a misunderstood effect on hen health. So we know what's happening is daylight triggers the pituitary gland in the hen, and that stimulates the hormones that get her laying. So, in the fall, you have the opposite. Day length slows down that hormone release. Her laying drastically slows or even stops. So what kind of, we talked about the feather fixer, which is amazing for the molt, but what kind of nutritional support can we give to a hen who is in that sort of henopause area where she just doesn't have the reproductive hormones coming in?
Well, nutritionally, fall, I'm going to say fall is a great time to check your birds for parasites, make sure they're ready for wintertime, okay? I'm not a big fan of leghorns, but having one white leghorn in your flock is a good idea. Do you know why?
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 I don't know, but I have one because she loves her. Right.
I'm lazy, so you really should check your birds for mites before winter. Yeah. If you have one white bird, you can go, oh, look at Betty's butt. And if Betty has mites, everybody's got them, okay? So you probably really should go through and check everybody's body condition coming into winter anyway. Because if you do have a skinny bird, winter is Mother Nature's way of culling your birds for you. So if you have a skinny bird and you're in the Northeast, I'm in the Midwest, it gets cold enough, they probably won't survive it. So this is not the time to change into a cheaper diet. You want to stay the course with a good diet, even though they may not lay. Don't go to a cheaper food. When I say cheaper, lesser quality, like I see people, they feed scratchy around. That's all they feed them. And they're like, oh, it takes my birds 3.5 months to molt, and they don't look very good, and they don't lay very good. And it's like, scratch is like trying to live on Cheetos.
Yes. I mean,
you can do it.
Exactly.
You won't live very long, and you won't be very healthy. And so a good quality layer, very important for the wintertime, especially if your birds were used to free ranging. Well, now they can't. I mean, if you're in an area where there's snow and ice on the ground, they're not going to get anything. You're going to be providing 100% of their diet, so it needs to be a good diet.
So my feeling
on wintertime, we don't light our birds. I have done it.
Right. We don't either.
We saw this craziness last year in the fall. You know, Bill Gates is paying us to put stuff in the feed so the chickens quit laying. And that's way more crazy. than the chickens not ovulating.
She's not a machine. She's just like every female body on this planet. If you don't have ovulation, nothing happens.
Yeah. You have all these chickens with little picket signs that says, Bill Gates didn't put something in the food.
I'm not ovulating, so you're not getting any eggs. It's that simple.
And I especially saw it with my second year chicken owners. Okay, so I've been doing this a year. I've seen everything. Well, guess what? No, you haven't, Pookie. You've not seen it all. Okay. And I handle a lot of our national complaints, you know, that their sales reps get them and they like kind of hand it off to me. Mm-hmm. Every feed complaint starts with the same sentence. Your feed sucks. All righty, sir or ma'am, what's going on? Well, I started feeding your feed and their feathers fell out and they quit laying. Now you know it's November. And the days are getting shorter and your chickens probably molted. Well, they didn't do it last year.
And they don't believe babies.
You. Well, you know, the second year is when this all happens. Yeah, right. Yeah. Convenient answer. You know, they don't want to believe you.
No.
It's the second year owners that have all this problem with this. 18 months. Betty's going to drop her feathers and stop laying for a couple of months, depending on how you feed her, how fast she's going to get back into production. She may or may not lay that winter. Okay. Right. I mean, about the time she gets done molting, the days get shorter. Betty's going to take the winter off and she'll come back in the spring.
Right.
And then the other thing is, well, I started to light my chickens and it didn't work. And then you find out that, well, I missed a couple of days. You can't. You're fooling that chicken's body into thinking it's still summer. And if you miss by just a little bit, she'll just go out of production. That's just how that works. It's not that easy to do. It's not super
it's a little bit of a cruel trick.
You've got to be consistent.
I mean, this is, we're women, so we do think it's a little bit of a cruel trick. You're kind of enforcing that chicken to give birth the entire year without any time off.
So at our house, we let the girls take the winter off. And what we do is we get new baby chicks every spring. And then we have first year chickens every year. So the solution, the answer to all life's questions is get more chickens, right?
Would you not agree? I love that answer. It's perfect. I love it.
Get more chickens.
The light thing, you know, we're kind of like, we don't do it. We don't really love it because, you know, you are, it's kind of fooling them. It's winter time. The thing that I like to give them a break because they're going to lay longer in life. They're born with the number of eggs that they're going to lay, whether it comes sooner or later. So would you rather have a chicken that's 7 or 8 still laying you eggs versus, you know, one that laid all their eggs in the first 3 years and you're still supporting them in life through all of those things? I like the giving them that break, give them little picket signs and Bill Gates didn't put anything in the food. And, you know, they naturally take the break, you know, and
nature knows what it's doing a lot of the time.
I do the same thing that Twain's talking about. We get chicks every year. Mm-hmm. So those pullets take they give you the extra eggs when the other ones take off. And if you keep doing that every year, you will have eggs for Thanksgiving and Christmas and you'll have no problem.
Now, I will say a tip for those of you that, I mean, maybe somebody only can have a limited number of chickens. Maybe getting new chickens is, you know, they need to move, but that's beside the point. Maybe they're
able to let them
have more than 4 chickens. Okay, but let's say that's the case and you do want to light your chickens. One of the key elements is, I would say put it on a timer so you have consistency. Mm-hmm. And it's very, very important that you wake them up early and let them have a natural sunset. Okay, this is going to sound kind of touchy-feely, and my pragmatists out there are going to say, oh, he's full of crap. I get that a lot. But I firmly believe that healthy, happy chickens lay more eggs.
Yeah,
absolutely. And
there's certain things, behaviors that chickens do, like dust bathing. Okay, it's for feather maintenance, but it's also a healthy, happy chicken dust bathes.
And
it helps her psyche. Chickens go to bed at night. If you don't believe me, this is your homework. Watch your chickens go to bed. It's a whole process. Okay. Yeah. If they have natural sundown, watch them go to bed. Your chicken coop is kind of like high school. They've got, the pecking order. You've got, you know, the cool chickens are at the top of the pecking order. They get the choice places, you know, the cheerleaders and the football players. If you had a stair-stepped roost, they'd be up at the top. And all the nerd chickens would be down at the bottom. And that's just Mother Nature, because if Mr. Fox came in, he's going to grab one of those unimportant nerds on the bottom, not an important football player.
No.
So,
No. I'm the cheerleader. I'm on the top. And I'm a nerd. So, no. You need the nerds because we're the smart ones. We need to be up in the.
But that's in the chicken world, the football players and the cheerleaders are up on the top. So I'm just saying.
I refuse to believe this.
Okay. Well, the rooster, think about it. I mean, he's always at the top. If he's halfway worth his salt, he's at the top of the pecking order. Anyway, this goes back to that flock mentality, the flock psyche. going to bed is an important part of their daily ritual. They have to go through this whole, I don't want to be by Betty, she's got cooties and this whole thing, but they all end up pretty much in the same place every night.
Okay? Betty gets the wrong end of the stick.
Betty's having it rough, man.
So they do this every night, and it's important to their psyche. And I firmly believe that that is makes them happy. So they're healthier and they lay more eggs.
Yeah.
The more pragmatic reason why you don't want that timer to go off at night is because Betty can't see at night. The lights go out. She can't see to get up on that roost. So Betty doesn't feel safe.
Yeah.
And if Betty doesn't feel safe, it stresses her. You may even cause Betty to molt if you stress her hard enough.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yep.
So if Betty can't get on the roost, she may get cold on the floor. And she won't lay any of these things. And what's funny is Betty feels safe being 18 inches off the floor, right at a fox's mouth level, but it's her perception. So what do you do? I mean, that's what Betty believes. So let Betty have a natural sunset and wake her up early. And a timer is the best way just because it's going to be consistent. You start doing this, well, I forgot to do it last night. They're just going to go out of production. So I do let mine have a natural winter. They just go without. But if you do want to light them, put them, get them up early, natural sunset.
And continue with that layer feed. Continue with that layer feed so that they have all those nutrients. So when naturally their body's ready to go, they're set with the level of protein and calcium that they need. And, you know, they have all those good things going. The other thing that someone can do, which is a little different, is look for winter layers. Now, they don't lay during the winter, but they start in basically January versus February or April. So they will take a shorter break. They'll probably break from October to December, and they will start sooner than some. Barred Rocks, Plymouth, all the Barred Rocks are winter layers.
Jersey Giants, Swedish flowers.
They start earlier for you. So if getting the egg production up, there are birds that are kind of made for you out there so that you can do that.
We also have a couple of episodes about preserving eggs. You know, there are some really good ways you can preserve eggs to get through your holiday baking.
Right.
You know, in some cases, even take you through spring when you start to have the new eggs show up again.
Right.
Yep.
It just takes a little planning.
Water glassing and glassing them. And Yeah, my wife's doing some dehydrated eggs as we speak.
Okay, nice.
So we've talked about that with Fiona before, and she really loves that. I also like the fact that you can crack the eggs in the ice cube trays and just freeze them.
Yep.
And then use those for your baking. So put them aside so, you know, you don't have to worry about that. You can have them for your baking in the fall. And I love the fact that you continue to feed the same food. Don't say, oh, you're not laying, so you don't get a layer food. They need that protein and calcium at this time of the year.
Yeah, and that truly does. That preps them for winter. Because winter is going to be colder, you know, so their requirements go up.
Yeah.
And you leave them on that layer through winter, even if they're not laying, definitely better for their body. Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, it's all the nutrition that they need. I mean, and I don't think it's touchy-feely, Twain. What you're saying, a happy hen lays better? That's the truth. They're not machines.
Hashtag
they're living, right? They're living creatures. So yes. And we know, God, there have been so many studies lately on the intelligence of chickens and their emotional capacity. We know, I mean, my chicken might really be smarter than your honor student.
I like getting into
the discussion. Where is she going with this?
which breeds of chickens are smarter than others? Now, first off, let me say, there's no such thing as a bad chicken.
But no such thing.
Dumb chicken. Okay. And I'm just going to say, I'm not going to go any farther than the Cornish cross is probably at the bottom of the intelligence level. They
thank
are
God. Wait, but they're the football players that you said were so smart, right?
But thank God they aren't.
No.
Thank God they aren't that intelligent. So they don't know what's happening.
Yeah.
They don't understand what's happening.
Yeah. They don't.
And God made it that way.
Yeah. They're kind of. Cross would not jump up on a roosting bar. They would not go to that much effort to jump.
They're the defensive line. They're like, oh, yeah.
No, they're the offensive line.
Offensive line. Wait, what's bigger?
Offensive line.
They're talking Taylor Swift about football. I think naked necks are at the top. I think
the naked necks are at the top.
I think they're some of the smartest birds ever.
You're absolutely right. There are some chickens. I mean, you know, I love the Asiatics, my Brahmas and Cochins. I love them. They're my favorites, but they're not going to win on Jeopardy anytime soon. They're just, I mean, they're the dearest chickens. I adore them, but they're just
on the way there.
Yeah, probably. Like, oh, what did I, let's go over there. Oh, they're just, yeah.
I'm on the way to Jeopardy. No, I'm not.
I've been called and labeled as a Silky hater. I don't hate Silkies, okay?
Let's just get this out there and clear that up.
Yeah.
Wayne does not hate Silkies.
I don't hate Silkies. But I'm not crazy about your first chicken out of the box. I teach so many people how to raise
chickens. Should never be a Silky.
Probably not Silkies and probably not Polish. Okay.
Yep.
And
agreed.
And
the Polish, especially if you want eggs.
Yeah. The Polish is because the other chickens, people always buy one Polish.
Yep.
It's like, if you're going to raise Polish, raise Polish. But if you don't, just get one.
No.
Why? Well, they're going to pick on it. Then they call me. Well, I didn't do what you told me to. And we got one and they're pulling Betty's head, you know, or crest out.
I'm naming one of my chicks next season Betty. Let's put this out
there. Right. Yeah.
That is the most common chicken name I've ever heard is Betty.
Betty,
Everybody seems to have a Betty.
Yeah, it's the number one.
Really?
Never knew that. I don't know why. Mabel's real high on the list. And then you get into all the Princess Leia and all that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, so Polish and Silkies are not your beginner chicken. I sometimes feel inside my stomach turn a little bit when first-time chicken keepers or even second-year chicken keepers are getting Silkies and Polish. I'm like, don't do it. Please don't do it yet. Because they come with extra care, extra different problems that they have. Get a few years under your belt so that you can get yourself
some all-purpose Barnum Elders. Or there are so many chickens that are just great for you.
But, you know, nutritionally, they all kind of need mostly the same things. What I want to circle back to a little bit is molting. And I mean, molting is so, so hard on these chickens. We talked about the amino acids and we talked about the essential oils that are in the food feather fixer, which is amazing. Is there anything else we should be giving them right now to help
molt support?
For molt support.
Well, you want to reduce the stress level. I will say that. I mean, it's not nutritional, but this is not a good time to add chickens to the flock. It's not a good time to move the coop where you have to handle all the birds. It's not a good time to put a new rooster in there. So reducing the stress level, very important. They don't want to be handled. I think it's probably kind of painful for them when they're molting. So reducing the stress level, I will hear people say, oh, just give them some cat food. I'm not saying that's wrong, but it, you know, that cat food was not designed for chickens. It was not formulated for chickens. I'm sure it's got things in there that chickens probably don't need. Whereas, you know, when you have a diet that's specifically made for molting and was formulated by a scientist for chickens at the right levels, that's probably your best bet.
You know what? I even like the bag. I maybe have made it into tote bags because I love the bag so much.
Yeah, it's a pretty bag.
It's a pretty bag.
I mean, the fact is, we asked the question about molting requirements, but you basically fixed it with the food for us.
Yeah.
So that we don't have to worry about it. You put it in a bag.
Yeah, and probably one of the worst things you can actually do, think about right now. We're getting less light. Weather is still fairly nice, right? Mm-hmm. But less light, so egg production is going down, but yet it's still really nice out for the most part. So her requirements for food go down just a little bit.
She's
probably not going to eat quite as much. Okay. So now all of a sudden, if you throw some scratch or you throw table scraps or you throw some other things out there for her, she's going to eat less of that layer pellet or the feather fixer that she really needs to regrow those feathers.
That's a great point. So this is really
not the time to feed scratch and some table scraps and things like that. So, yeah, that's kind of to kind of maybe wrap up the molt, you know, topic a little bit. That's kind of the don't do. You know, we talked a lot about what you do, but that's kind of a don't. So you don't want to do that. Those products work great once we get into winter as kind of that extra little,
you know,
treat, right, to give a little more energy during winter. But right now, that's not the thing to feed.
Yeah. The other thing you could do with the pellet, if you want it to serve it differently, is and soak it and make it into a mash.
Yep.
And they would probably love it that way, warm, you know, like with warm water, let it soak, and make it into a mash for them. Mash is like a treat. They don't even realize they're eating the same food, but it's like a treat because the texture is different. The smell is enhanced with the warm water. That might make them feel like they're getting a treat.
Yeah. And what we always tell everyone with scratch is feed, if you're going to give out scratch, you know, to help them with cold, do it before your chickens go to bed. Yeah. You know, they need to be eating their ration all day long to meet their daily nutrients.
The other part too, though, of the flock shield with the essential oils, those essential oils in there, the birds, all of our testing showed they love it. And they prefer that to just mm-hmm. a regular feed. So when we are trying to get those birds to eat this time of year, that's the other piece of feather fixer that makes the whole thing work, is with those essential oils, they absolutely do eat it better than they do a traditional diet.
Because they're not being fed that all year long. They're going to be fed probably from October through December, mixed in with their regular feed, the feather fixer, or changed over.
I just changed it over.
And
yeah, it's a complete
look
diet.
At that as something different.
Yep.
Right, it's a treat. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and it has everything they need, and you don't really have to do anything else. It's higher level of protein. What's the level of protein? 18% in that feed?
Yes, correct. Yep. Yeah. So and like I said, the bigger thing is the amino acids in it. So, because you can, you know, we could actually vary that protein level a little bit, but as long as we got the amino acids in there, that's the main thing. So it's really more the amino acids that are in it than the actual protein level.
Nice.
Okay.
So one of the things I've heard, and I've been raising chickens for over 50 years, and I've heard this since I was a kid, is in cold weather, if you give your birds scratch, some kind of grain, that the act of grinding helps keep them warm at night. I don't know if this is true or not. I've asked some poultry PhDs, and they give me an eye roll, which tells me they either don't believe it or why do I care? I'm not sure, but have you ever heard that?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think what it does is it makes the body's metabolism, the act of breaking down the food is actually what warms up the body, because it's producing energy by breaking down, you know, the food itself. And corn is a higher level of sugar, you know, so that's going to, you know, break it's down a little
energy.
Bit more than and energy. Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess. And so just a side thing, too, if you're going to feed scratch, they have to have access to grass.
Great,
okay, because that can cause all kinds of problems. Pellets and crumbles, you're okay. Any kind of grain, they need that grit to
totally agree.
Fill up their gizzard and create that little grinding mill.
And we're talking commercial poultry grit, or, you know, little pebbles in the yard, whatever. But we're not talking about oyster shells. Oyster shells and grit are two different things.
Two separate things.
People confuse that all the time. They think they're interchangeable, and they are not. Yeah, oyster shell is a calcium source. And that's all it is. It does not act as grit. And grit has no nutritional value. It is strictly to help digest food. So,
exactly.
The question there is, how much caloric need is produced by that digestive act from the grinding, moving it all through?
Yeah. Right. And energy produces their body to heat up.
Yeah, there is some, but it's not a lot. But if you think about just what is in scratch, right? Scratch is grains. Typically, right? So, or that's wheat, oats, Milo, barley, corn, right? All those things are high in carbohydrates. So that is really, you're breaking that down. That may create just a little bit more heat or energy, but those products they're breaking down are high in energy, high in carbohydrates. So that's why those products are good for. Well, number one, that's why they're a treat, right? So they're all carbs. So think about, you know, if we would eat something that's all carbs, right? Just it's not the best thing in the world for you all the time, right? It doesn't give you everything else. But in the winter, or as a treat, you know, throughout the year, it can be really good. It can be a good treat.
So,
Yeah. And exactly, Twain, I have heard that many times with that warms them up, but I really believe that it's the metabolism inside that act of grinding and metabolizing that food that makes the body work while it's sitting still and warms them up. So that's what we say about scratch is you give it before bed. It helps break down overnight. That does warm them up a little bit internally. And it is a treat, 100%. I love your high pro scratch because it has some pellet in it also with berry and lots of extra really good stuff. You get a little bit more than just your average scratch,
which probably means you can feed less scratch.
Right.
It's higher quality. Yeah,
you can. So there's a little bit extra protein. Most scratches are, 8% protein. Mm-hmm. The Nutrina High Pro scratch runs 12. So definitely a little better for them from a protein standpoint. That's what's in that part of what's in that pellet. The other thing, too, is there's probiotic part of that that really helps and helps the gut to break down all that energy or those carbs, right? That grain, the combination of the grains that are in there, the sunflower, black oil sunflower that's in there that isn't in all scratches, but that's in our high pro scratch. And then that with the combination of a little bit of that pellet, the other grains, and that's definitely makes that a very, very good scratch to feed. Yep.
Yeah, it's my favorite. That's the only kind that my girls get. And I love the fact that they have berry poop the next day. Everyone, if you feed it, no, there's not a problem. It does turn their poop to berry poop. Berries. Oh, you're like, oh, yeah, they ate the scratch pellets. They definitely did.
I was going to say, I've also heard since I was a kid that black oil sunflowers are very, very good for feather growth and the oil in their skin and that. So that's also very good for them. Yeah. Too.
And chickens need a little bit of fat, for fat soluble vitamins. So yeah.
Exactly.
So I think we've gone through some really good nutrition stuff. We've talked a little bit about getting ready for winter. We talked about looking for mites and lice. We talked about why your chickens have stopped laying when they might start. We've talked about scratch when it gets cold.
So many good things.
So many good things. So I think we can get to some of the other fun stuff. Like number one, and we're going right to you, Mark, because you have managed to fill two coops. Have you added any new breeds? What are your new breeds?
We added silver lace or Old English silver laced Orpingtons.
Oh, you need to send us some pictures.
Please. Oh, we'll do that. Big, gorgeous fluff balls.
We have Jubilees.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Those are cool.
Yeah. Jubilees are gorgeous, but those silver lace Orpies are to die for.
I'm an Orpington nerd. I love Orpingtons.
I got to think that the Orpington is maybe the sweetest chicken out there. I think they're kind of the golden retriever of the chicken world.
Yeah. Just a
garden variety buff that you buy from, the farm store. They are such sweet birds. They're
not
super
them.
Predator safe, they're liable to walk up to a coyote and go, "Hi, I'm dead."
Probably. I mean, they're not going to win. They're not going to win on Jeopardy either, but they're so sweet.
Yeah.
And beautiful. I mean, it's like a basketball with feathers.
I consider them a dumb chicken.
They're just so trusting, though. They just love everybody and everything.
Anything else besides the silver? I mean, I don't know if you can top the silver lace Orpingtons.
Yeah. No, the other one, it was a new one for us too, but that's some cream of egg bars.
Oh, so another one of our favorites.
Blue eggs. Yeah, some blue eggs there. So
we love the egg bars.
Yeah, we're waiting them. But that's our two new ones.
Yeah, you're going to fall in love with the leg bars. They are amazing.
They have quirky personalities. I mean, they're half leghorn, so, they really have quirky personalities, but they're... Yeah. They like people. They like to hang out. We love that.
So my Cornelia, she's one of them. She will fall asleep on my chest and purr and be sound asleep. But then to everybody else, all the other hens, she's like, "Oh no." Like she's like, "Oh, I'm going to get you." But to me, and she purrs and everything else. So they have such fun personalities. I just love them.
And if you incubate, you're going to love them because they're auto-sexing. So
Yep.
Leg bars are excellent. Like you said, Holly, they're half leg horns. So they're going to lay you lots of eggs that are blue.
I really wouldn't mind having cockerel because they're gorgeous. You ever seen them with the barred tail? The leghorn cockerels are beautiful.
No, I haven't seen
them. Or leg bar or leg horn?
I said leg horn. Leg bar boys are gorgeous. She fixes my words all the time.
I know what she means.
It's handy.
I want to get some more. Have you ever had breast chickens?
No, but we've profiled them before.
And we talked to the girls over at Greenfire Farm, and they say that is a hot chicken right now. Hot.
I get ours from a hatchery in Mississippi called Breeze Farms. Just a shameless plug for them. They're real nice. That's all. They have other exotic breeds, but they mostly do Breezes.
Okay.
And if you want a good, sustainable, they breed true. Mm-hmm. So they produce a meat bird that is not a crossbreed. but they're also a good layer. They lay like 200 and some odd eggs a year. So
They're like a really good homestead breed, and they're a heritage breed. They're a very old breed. Yeah. I think that's why they became so popular. Greenfire said they can't keep them in.
Yeah, they said they are very popular.
In 2009, when you could only get them from Greenfire, a day old unsexed Breese chick was $1,500. And that was in 2009. And then now here we are, fast forward 14 years later, and they're like $10 a piece.
Wow.
That's crazy.
So you want some of them.
And we really like those. So
nice. Are you going to get any naked necks again?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Love my naked necks. They're my favorite.
And that's again, you have to send us a picture or video with you with the naked necks.
The naked neck chicks are so stinking cute.
So we just want to let everybody know that Mark and Twain are going to be joining us a couple of times a year.
Quarterly.
Some roundtable discussions. And we're so happy to have you guys on the show. The thing I wanted to throw out there to our listeners is if you have any topics that you want to hear the four of us talk about, send us an email, send us a message, and then we'll kind of talk it all over and see if it's one that we can talk about or not. But you guys have you're a wealth of information, chickens and chicken nutrition, and also through one of the best foods, Nutrina, out there. So we welcome you to come, quarterly and chat with us for an hour or so. It's so much fun.
We love it. Thank you very much. And then to top that, then Twain has 100 stories too. So that helps.
Twain has the best stories.
My husband loved your story about the one-eyed rooster won in a poker game. So do you have, let's end this with a Twain story.
Yeah, we need a Twain story.
We need to end this with a Twain story every time.
So when we were teenagers, I grew up out in the boonies and, and we weren't like old enough to be like troublemaking teenagers. We were like 13, 14, nothing to do on a Friday, Saturday night. So I grew up in an area with like almost everybody in the neighborhood had chickens. We would take a flashlight and go to the neighbors and shine a flashlight on the rooster in the coop. Now, do you know what that's going to do?
Wake him up.
It's going to make him think daylight's coming and he'll start crowing. So pretty soon, all the neighbors' chickens are hearing him crow. They think, he knows something I don't know. So they all start crowing back and forth. And it takes them hours to get over this. Okay. So at 11 o'clock at night, every rooster, and then in the morning, to hear our parents go, what was those damn chickens? They were all crowing. We were the coolest, Such simple times.
I love that. That's like one of those harmless prank that's, ring the doorbell and run kind of thing. I love that.
Yeah. But we just thought we were so cool. And looking back, it was like, God, you were stupid kids.
Kind of just what kids do. Just have all the roosters in the neighborhood going off and you see all the porch lights come on. Like, what's going on? Yes. I like your version much better.
Yes.
That's amazing. Well, it's been so much fun catching up with you guys again. You are so fun. And to let you all know, they're wearing their matching rooster shirts, which we love. And they're cool. Where did you get them?
Mark, I found them online somewhere. And I can't, if you look up Hawaiian rooster shirt, I'm sure you'll find it.
I had to get one for my husband.
Thank you, guys. We can't wait till next time.
Thank you.
See everybody.
Talk to you later.
Bye-bye. We just want to thank Mark and Twain one more time for coming on for a really great roundtable. We'll look forward to chatting with them again in a couple of months.
Thanks, guys. Okay, so let's move on to
cracking the eggs.
Cracking those eggs. Now, Thanksgiving's coming up soon.
This looks so good.
So we brainstormed a recipe. Now, a lot of times we sit down, we brainstorm, we just pick different ingredients that we think we like, different flavors that we think we like, and something that we can use eggs and goes together. And this is what we came up with for this one. It's pumpkin sage drop biscuits for your Thanksgiving table or just in the fall.
And they're honestly surprisingly easy to make. It was not that difficult to come up with the recipe. They really would be a great Thanksgiving addition. Although, they'd probably also be good like for breakfast with honey on them.
I think that or like an apple butter or a pumpkin butter.
Either
on
one.
Them,
yeah.
They would be great. So let's go into our ingredients for the biscuits.
So we're going to do 2.5 cups of all-purpose flour or gluten-free, plus a little bit more for dusting your hands, 2 tablespoons of sugar, 1 tablespoon of baking powder, 1/2 teaspoon of cinnamon, because how can you have pumpkin and sage without cinnamon?
You can't.
1/2 teaspoon of nutmeg, because you can't have those things and not have nutmeg.
I love the nutmeg.
1 tablespoon of finely minced sage leaves. Now, you can use them from your garden mm-hmm. or dried, however you want to do it.
Oh, if you're going to do dried,
you do less.
Yeah, you want to do a teaspoon of dried, 1 tablespoon of fresh.
You always do more fresh than dried. Mm-hmm,
right.
1 pinch of salt, 1 stick of cold butter or dairy-free butter. It's going to be cut in cubes. 2 eggs at room temperature, because baking at room temperature with eggs is always better.
Mm-hmm.
1/2 cup of milk or plant-based milk, and 1 cup of your pumpkin puree. Just plain, not with the pumpkin pie spices right, in it.
Exactly. You're going to preheat your oven to 400 degrees Fahrenheit, and then you're going to line a baking sheet with parchment paper or foil and set aside. If you'd rather just put them right on the baking sheet, you can, but I like easy cleanup, so I go with parchment paper.
Oh, yeah.
In a large mixing bowl, you're going to whisk together the flour, sugar, baking powder, cinnamon, nutmeg, and salt.
All the good stuff.
You're going to break out your pastry cutter.
That's my favorite tool.
Me too.
I love it.
Or you can use 2 forks.
Nah, get yourself a pastry cutter.
I agree, but I'm just saying.
Go to Amazon, buy them. They're
cheap. You can use 2 forks.
TJ Maxx.
You can use your fingers, whatever you usually use. Cut your butter into the dry mix until it looks like coarse meal. And some larger pieces are fine. That's just nice hunks of butter in there.
Right.
Now, you want a medium bowl. You're going to whisk together your eggs, the milk, the pumpkin, and the sage. Make a well in the dry ingredients, pour the liquid ingredients in, and then stir them together quickly into a dough.
Quickly, quickly.
Quickly. And it's going to be a sticky dough, though. So if you want to get your hands in there to finish mixing, flour your hands really well first.
You don't want to get all that stuff stuck to you.
No. You're going to drop the dough onto the baking sheet in scoops of about 2 to 3 tablespoons each. You should end up with around 12 biscuits.
And you're going to bake them for about 15 minutes.
Until they're starting to brown a little bit. Don't overbake. If you're doing gluten-free.
You're going to have rocks if you overbake.
Yeah, If you're gluten-free, do the 15 minutes and take them out, even if they're not as brown as you'd like.
Yeah.
Because they will dry out fast. And that's it.
And like we said, you could have these for breakfast with even cinnamon sugar, like the little sprinkles.
Whatever.
Pumpkin butter, apple butter.
They'll go in either direction, either sweet or savory. You can do either way.
Yeah. With the sage in it, they're going to be really pretty on the Thanksgiving table.
Oh, you know, if you slice these and made a turkey sandwich out of them, that would be good. Amazing.
You can make them bigger and then you bake them a little longer.
Be harder to cut, but you could try it.
Yeah, you could.
Or you could make minis and make appetizers of them.
You could, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so try it. You might like it. Let us know what you think. Okay, so let's move on to retail therapy. Retail therapy. Yeah. This week's retail therapy, we are showcasing Bantam Roasters. We have talked about them in the past, but we wanted to bring them up again because they have some amazing stuff on their website. And we have a new code that you can use over there to get 10% off. It's a great code.
It is a great code. And they have so many things on the website. They have clothing, wearables, you know, t-shirts. The co-owner, Alex, we had Chad and Alex on the show back in the spring.
They're such a cute couple.
Super nice. Well, I'm pretty sure that Alex draws a lot of the graphics that are on the t-shirts.
Oh, yeah.
And the mugs. So super, super cute.
We had Halloween t-shirts from them. We fell in love with them.
You like the Poultrygeist, and I like the Chick or Treat the best.
The Chick or Treat.
So cute. I love them so much.
They were so cute. And the amount of coffee you can get over there and the deliciousness of the coffee, you can't go wrong. It's bean so that you can grind it as you go. And that way, it's good and fresh. Now, we also have the Roasters t-shirts. Which are really cute, too.
Oh, the Guess What Chicken Butt.
They have hats. They have a ton of stuff. It's a great website to go over and just have fun with. If you like coffee like us, you're going to want to order some. And it's a time to do it because we have the code right now, Fluffy Butt.
And if you're in Northern Maryland or Southern PA, you can stop at the coffee shop.
You can go in.
Mm-hmm.
It's adorable. There's a fireplace in there that burns.
Yeah.
You can see Chad doing the roasting. And it's in historic Gettysburg, PA. It's a great little town for a day trip if you're within the area.
Well, I bet it's going to be super cute. Did they decorate for Christmas?
They decorate the whole town for Christmas. I've been there at Christmas time. It's just a nice little place. So we just wanted to give them a mention for retail therapy because you can't go wrong with their
coffee. Take advantage of that code for the rest of the year.
And if you have somebody who's a chicken lady and you don't know what to buy her, get her a t-shirt and some coffee. Mm-hmm. They have mugs also.
So yeah, the mugs are, yeah.
Everything is super cute. And they have other stuff that they're selling in the store. So if you go over to the coffee shop, you can buy other stuff too. So mm-hmm. it's a great place. It's check wonderful. It out. Okay, so should we tell everybody what we're going to be talking about next week?
Next week. Oh, next week is our Thanksgiving episode. And because it's Thanksgiving, we are spotlighting a turkey breed, the Slate Turkey.
Yay!
We spent the most fun day at Slate Run Heritage Farm in Ohio. It's an 1880s farm. We're going to tell you all about life there. Thanksgiving in 1880s Ohio. Cracking the eggs. Cornbread stuffing.
Yummy.
Yeah. And retail therapy. We're reviewing Roosty's new feeder and waterer set.
Yes, we are. Okay, so what should we tell everybody to do until next week?
Hug your chickens.
Every day and kiss them too. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
If you'd like to see more of us, please follow us on Instagram at Coffee with the Chicken Ladies. If you'd like to help us grow the podcast, please leave us a written review on Apple Podcasts. If you'd like to become a patron of the show, please visit our Patreon page, patreon.com/coffeewiththechickenladies. Thanks for listening.